Welcome back to the Jazz Standard.
Live now on Kaya 959.
We are Rhythm and Beat.
And Jazz.
Well, we're here together, and we're just after the aftermath, you know. We're still having a hangover from yesterday's jazz and Friday's jazz and Wednesday's jazz, all these other times that have been happening. But also, I mean, let's not talk as if we don't have jazz at any other time. It's just that this grand gathering that Joe of Jazz and Standard Bank put together is always a place to just converge and meet with people from every walk of life and just talk about why we are so in love with one another, because the music reminds us, right? One of the things that I thought about, it's Heritage Month in South Africa. It's always like, what conversations do we have? What are we preserving that is about our story? And what do we think the next generation is going to find, you know, in the archive that is going to guide them of how we felt, how we thought when we were insecure, where we found value and all of that. And the drum, you know, the percussion in jazz music, which is part of its lineage anyway, but just these percussionists that are coming through right now. I was looking at Khunsi's place in all of this, in albums, whether it's Vuma Levine, whether it's Shabaka Hutchins, whether, you know, just the places where you find him playing. And then I was looking at Weedy Bremer in terms of, I mean, the stuff I've been listening to, especially through Terry Lynn Carrington's work as well, you know, and I think Amanda Freitas. And I was thinking, you know, we need to have this conversation from our point of view and just celebrate the fact that, you know, the drum continues to roll. Mm-hmm. So just say welcome to my guests and thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me and my brother here. So.
Thank you very much.
Yes, Khunsi, you are going to be holding our hand, the two of us. Because this is your homeland, you know?
Yeah.
Hometown.
I'm following you.
All right, let's go.
Are we going? Okay, let's kick it with a song maybe, and then we'll come through.
Uh-huh.
I've got something called Water Signs from Shane Cooper with John Sweetsman.
Ooh.
Can we go there?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what I did to myself. I brought two musicians into the room, and I have to make do with the facial expressions and just the conversations so rich about music. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining me on the Jazz Standard. You know, last week I spoke about it, and I think we were talking about Afro and Jazz at Lincoln Center and the project coming through, and we're talking to Expect Hunzi as we did a play out last week, you know, to say that it's Heritage Month, and let's have conversations that we should be having of preservation, you know, of soul, if anything. So it's so nice to be talking to you. How did you find the festival? Who wants to go first?
Wow. Firstly, Dumelang Sanibonani Absheni Ndaa. Lebitso la ka ke Hunzi Makhene, as Sis Brenda has said. The festival was actually, it was quite interesting, man, to see all the beautiful performances, and to feel the spirits of the musicians, you know, coming together. It's like a reunion of sorts. Every time there's Joy of Jazz, you know you're going to meet musicians that you haven't seen in like almost 2 years sometimes, or even like 3 years, because like we don't often get to like you come together like that, congregate in the way that Joy of Jazz makes us congregate, you know, which is one thing that I appreciate about the Joy of Jazz. It brings musicians together. The one thing though, I wish they could have done a better thing with the sound, man. I really wish they could have done a better thing with the sound. I mean, it's an international festival, I love it, but they just take better care of the sound, man.
Yeah. We didn't go on stage. We only did a 30-minute set.
I understand.
But
you know, the next day we were paying attention more.
Yes, absolutely.
Hope tonight, today would be also great. But in essence, I mean, I like what you're saying, that the festival brings musicians together for the audience. It brings us friends that we don't see in years, in the whole year, until we see them that year. But thank you very much for your candid mention. We have to also, you know, talk about what we need to fix for us to look good as we step out, you know. Widi Brema, we just played you as well. And I like this song and the title of the outfit and the band itself. You know, it's called Express Train to Bamako, and it features the Hands of Time in many ways. You know, you're also playing on on words.
Yes, and playing with words. This is my band, The Hands of Time. And when we did the album, I named the album The Hands of Time, because I mean, to work as a djembe fola in this industry, I want people to understand its importance, you know, because a lot of time, you know, people call me percussionist, and I see it, and I say, that's great, that's cool. But you cannot use a European vernacular to define an African narrative.
Yeah, true.
So, okay, that's fine. But you wouldn't call it, you wouldn't say, you would probably say, if you saw me with a band and a trio, Robert Glasper on piano, Chris Dave on drums, and Widi Brema on percussion. Now, I'm only playing one instrument, just playing djembe. But the vernacular, what it should be, if it were being true, it should be Robert Glasper on percussion, because the piano is a percussion
instrument. True.
Drums on the, also Chris Dave on percussion, and then Widi Brema on percussion. But define me by the name and the titles of what I do and what I am as a djembe fola, as an African, as a djembe fola. I want to be defined as how we are. Definitely in the year 2025, where everything represents on definition and how you define by. But as far as the festival, I love this festival, and it's also great to see new friends, and to meet new people, and to see old friends, and just to congregate and to see what's happening new in music, you know. But I'm seeing that, you know, the stretch is being able to understand that, you know, it, as a jazz festival in Africa, that says a lot. It says a lot, you know what I'm saying? Because when people say, oh, you know, we playing music, we doing this, and as an African, I'm honored to say we're doing something like this here.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's definitely in South Africa, because South Africa is a very powerful blow in the jazz scene, you know, between South Africa and Ghana, and its connections being forth. So it's, for me, seeing this festival, Joy Jazz, and being a part of it, it's touching. It's very touching. And then coming here with the great Wynn Marsalis with this piece that he and I put together, we composed. I'm one of the composers for this project, for Afro, for this movement. And to bring it to South Africa, it's very touching. It's very touching, and it also puts the djembe in a different light.
Absolutely, and we're all the richer for all of these discoveries.
We definitely are the richer, man.
I mean, I've played, you know, you and Jono Sweetman were dancing together here on this piece with Shane Cooper on Water Signs. Do you want to tell us a little bit about, you know, how when the folks call you in and say, hey, men khunzi, tlaya pele, you know, what do they ask you to lay? What do they sing? What are you bringing to the room?
They just, like, okay, the one time I was working with Umakatini, and he just, ati wena umthakathi.
Okay.
And so, but then, like, there's also the connotation which that word comes with, you know. Uh-huh. So, like, he explained to me, ukuthaka is putting things together, you know, so that you can make, create a potion. Mm. So, I mean, I'm the one who puts together these different elements and, you know, makes a potion for the whole band, basically.
Right.
So, this is most of the time what people ask me to come and do. Just come and put together things and make the potion, and this is what you hear at the end. Yeah.
So I think the conversation about the what you do has different accents and dialects because of where you go and the, you know, where you locate it, but it's all the same thing. You know, it's about just being very honest about the spirit of music and what if you're defining Africa, what is inclusive in there, and just paying homage to that in conversation within a jazz context is very important.
Yes, important, and it's all the narrative is changing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been here for years. I mean, if you look at folkloric musicians that have been able to make a living and to be included, sometimes as a part of the music, and sometimes as a guest, and sometimes as composers. A lot of times we think, oh, we have the percussionist, you know, let him do it, play his 6/8 or play it, and let him do his little solo. I mean, we've dealt with this for years, but now we're at a place where that narrative has changed.
Yeah.
You know, so now we're becoming composers and producers of albums. Like, good example, as a Jimbe Fola, I was able to produce the latest Youssou N'Dour album. You know, me and Michael Lee, I was the co-producer of Youssou N'Dour's latest album.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason being is not just because of understanding, being a djembe fola, is being able to understand the narrative within the genres of folkloric music within Senegal, within the Gambia, within Tambacounda, within Kaolack, or within different areas. But how do you implement that in a narrative that can speak, whether it's in a jazz or straight ahead narrative or even a fusion narrative?
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, a lot of musicians that play folkloric instruments were only able to play folkloric music. And then when you brought that folkloric musician into a jazz context, it was like, okay, we're going into ritual mode, we're going to spiritual mode, so let him go and do his thing.
But anyway, can you bring that? Because we need it,
but do not just call me coming in and playing and start speaking in language and people going crazy like this was the greatest thing in the world. And so now you ask us to come and do it, but I can't do that.
We don't want to fetishize this.
We don't want to, exactly. Mm. But now that's not happening. From all the albums I've done, that's not happening.
I love what you say, because, like, now when people come, at first they were like, okay, come and play, and then when it's time for me to do, they would close their eyes and it would become that.
Bring the
moment,
music down.
You know? Yeah. It would become that moment. But now it's no longer like that. It's like we get invited to be part of the music and to be part of the creative process, you know, like you were saying, being part of being a composer, a producer. So you are now part of the whole team. You're not just an invitee or, you know, like that's just
shaded a little bit.
No. And it's growing. I love the growth of it, you know.
Well, what an exciting conversation. There's three of them all of a sudden.
Uh-huh.
But to introduce the other one, we do it ritually as well.
Hang la la, hang la la, ngikaya.
I think you all know that this is my favorite song, especially when I'm sleepless at night and when I'm, you know, laying ghosts because life is happening. I think I've always had my own interpretation of this song, you know, because in his in the vocals he says "Beba Kuluma," you know, those people that speak to you, you know, in to yourself, you know, who nobody else can hear them speaking to you. But I thought maybe I should allow Bratlali Makhene to tell us a little bit about the meaning of this song, because it also has the rhythm of the rituals that I see when people are doing the rites of passage into practitioner.
Ah, sanbonani, sanbonani, sanbonani kaya.
Ninja.
Sipilile, sipilile. Ah, I don't know what to say. You know, first, my brothers here, you know, it's so beautiful to have a fellowship. Mm. Fellowships are so important. Unfortunately, in this part of the world, where there's a lot of drums, but when you come to the progressive space of music and so sort of contemporary, I don't like the contemporary word, but progressive space, others will call it jazz, then the drum, the essence of the drum, then becomes a cherry on the cake. And unfortunately, that is because we do not have these fellowships. Mm. And earlier on, we were talking of about the use of not the drum, but the use of the percussionist in a music setup. Sometimes we are brought in to bring colors
and ambiance.
We are the spiritualists of the group and all that stuff. But see, singabantu bengoma, we're people of song. And ingoma, you find ingoma in the song itself, you find ingoma in the rhythm, the dance, you find ingoma in the medicine. You know, you find ingoma within the people that are doing ingoma. So everybody on stage are Ngoma is.
Got it.
So now coming back to your...
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So now, Anglalanga, actually is one of the catalysts. I don't know if he remembers. He was still young. And I wake up, we all wake up. The next thing, I'm singing this chorus. Anglalanga, anglalanga. Yes, whose song is that? I'm like, it's my song. Where does it come from? I just dreamt of it. He's like, but why don't you record it? I'm like, okay.
Wow.
One day, when I get to the recording, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And basically the song, Beba Kuluma Koko, where do our great-grandfathers talk? How do they talk to us? They talk to us ematongweni in our sleeps.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, I am not, or rather, I am not initiated or trained to speak with them when I'm awake.
Mm.
So that is a job for others, the diviners.
Mm.
But everybody, when we are asleep, that's easy access for us to glimpse that side. And they talk to us without having to...
To
be scared and all that stuff, because these days we're easily scared. We play and then someone feels something and like, it's demonic. It's like, come on. If demons are spirits, then I love that spirit. I love that demon. So that's how they talk to us. And they spoke to me. This was the message. Take it out there. People need to listen to us. You know, I say anglalanga, but I was asleep. Someone says awulalanga, and like, yes, I was asleep, but I was not asleep in my sleep. So I was busy.
Listening in the sleep.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, welcome to it. Yeah. I think you know, you understand it, Widi. You know, we don't talk about these things. We don't write them. Some of them, it's a matter of being.
Well, for me, being born in a family of folklorists, and using the instrument to be a practitioner in traditions, and you know, being able to know the spiritual side of the aspect of what the instrument can do, because it of the initiations I've been able to go through because of the instrument. Mm-hmm. I know it's power.
Yes.
I know it's power. But the thing is, knowing its power and knowing how to utilize it both in a traditional indigenous context as well as a musical context, some people say they're two different and some people can say they're both in the same.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what makes it different? Because everybody there is not coming to see what we are trying to preserve and what we're bringing to light.
Yeah.
But the people who are there need what we are trying to bring and preserve to come to life.
Exactly.
So if I'm coming there, if I'm creating a song that's based out of a narrative of a naming ceremony, well, why you need somebody to name? It's not about just a name. It's a rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a giving of a name, the giving of a title, to heal. Or it could be for rites of passage, all those type of things. Yeah, but at the same time, what if you say, I have a dream about something, and it's just coming from a place where I literally dream. A lot of people can take away dream from the spiritual aspect.
True.
It's all connected.
It's all connected, yeah.
But to bring that same spiritual aspect into music, you are no longer the percussionist.
Yeah.
Mm. That's why I said, don't call me a percussionist.
Because
I'm a percussionist in a European term, then my job is to only play the importance of what the music needs. But as a job as a jimbifola, my job is bigger than just being what the music needs. It is the entity of what the music is to preserve its longevity, its continuum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if it's the longevity continuum, my job is not, it almost is just like, no, I'm not the holy shaman, you know, the sangoma or the doso that comes there to do the thing. But those same two people, job is important.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? If you are healer through music, do you have to know the science behind the spiritual periodic table that goes with the music?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'm getting schooled, and this is a masterclass indeed. You know? I wanted to know what fola are we? If there's a Jembe fola, and then there's another fola. But I wanted to say to you officially, you've just met my brother Tlale Makgene. He's a Soweto-born South African sought-after percussionist. Moved to Swaziland at the tender age of 4 and began drumming. So he's been at it for a while.
I know
and
these two people.
You
I
know
watch
these
you.
Two? Yeah.
I'm not joking. I don't joke it. I know.
I get you.
As a job, as our job, it's not just to be like, okay, let's see what this guy can do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also being able to, it's beyond fellowship. We didn't have to fellowship to know we're brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. True, amen. True.
Yeah. And not because the hand drummers are together now. No, they are musicians.
Exactly.
They are composers. They are healers. They are historians. They are researchers. They are preservers. They're intellectual. They're sophisticated.
Yeah.
So sophisticated. So it's not just that we just play drums for bands. And no, mm-hmm. these are leaders of their own things too.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that. I have to take a break, and when I come back, I want to give you some choices of names that we came up with, and we stand corrected. We just wanted to select some pieces because it is a music show. Idris Akamo and the Pyramids, Art Ensemble of Chicago, Shabaka and the Ancestors, Tlale Makgene, Widi Bremer. You'll tell us where to go.
Okay.
Taking a break on the Jazz Standard. The time is 13:39.
Kaya 959's The Jazz Standard.
Where the cool cats come to play.
Well, for me, it feels like the cool cats have come to really talk about what they do. I mean, they're sitting here in the studio. I wish I could record even the conversation that is not going on air, because I really think we're ironing out our own perception of how we see this instrument in the music. And I know, you know, to give credence to the listeners out there, we feel it. We understand, you know, we go with that flow. But I think in the practice itself, you know, and my question would be, folks at home, I'm sitting with Tlale Makgene, Widi Bremer, and Khonsi Makgene. And Khonsi, you're very important because I'm not sure what we do in the place of learning and teaching, of making this conversation speak to today's creativity. Because, you know, we also tend to erase certain things in order to be hip. Yeah.
Project there. What needs to happen is conversations like these need to just happen anywhere and everywhere, every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, between musicians, between scholars and musicians, between kids and the experienced and the inexperienced, you know,
mm-hmm.
so that there is an understanding of what the language is or what the music is and what the practicing of the music is,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a sort of like a standardized understanding, well, you know, like standardizing things sometimes is just like, it's overplayed really. But if there is like an inculcative way to bring people into the understanding, then it will make things much better. Then we would understand what's the importance of the preserving of their music, the preserving of the practicing of playing the drums, and the practice of like healing through the music.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, to add on that, as older people, we always cry about the youth being mischievous. And we forget that the youth take from the elders.
Mm-hmm.
So if the youth is mischievous, that means the teachings behind the curtains are mischievous themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because we meet the youth on the road, but then we live with them at home. And but now, when everybody sees my kid out there, they're like, this one is naughty, this one is da-da-da-da-da. Wow, this youth, the youth is, it's a mess. No, us, the parents, the elder ones, are a mess. Why am I saying that? Language is very important. If we cannot teach from our kids going up the importance of language. Now, language is very broad. The language of music, the language of healing, and just linguistically as it is, because that is where, what do you call it?
Essence.
You see, now I'm thinking in Zulu, this is what? The essence of everything sits. You know, the secrets of the people are embedded in language.
True.
So, if we lose the languages, then we lose ourselves. So now, when we take our kids, for good reasons, they need to go to school, they need to be educated, and then the child says, I want to do music. I wish they could say, we could see that when they start, just give them music. But then now, they want to go to university and go to music.
They
go there. It's a mess in these institutions.
Mm.
Because now, there's music, they do music. There's dance,
they do dance.
It's worse in other universities. Then there's African music. Ah, and you're still in Africa. And so now, within that as well, they're separated. Music on the other side and dance. A dancer, what does a dancer dance to?
Mm.
What does a musician play to? Traditionally, it's music and dance.
Oh.
In Venda, they say Murumba Utambela Chanda.
And we forget one thing. We forget one thing. Oh, you have the religious class where you're dealing with religious spirituality,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But dealing with Catholicism, Islam, dealing with different folk traditions,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's this there. And when you talk about those different traditions, it's only for one chapter.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Mm.
But like my brother said, you have your music class, you have your dance class, then you have the African music class. Yeah. Then you have the next part, African dance class.
Ah.
How do I know this? I teach at a university, Oberlin Conservatory of Music in the States. I'm a professor at Oberlin Conservatory. And we have Djembe Orchestra, and now we have Djembe Practicum, and we used to have West African Dance 1, and then West African Dance Aesthetics.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, which my wife, Talise Campbell, said, okay, this will do. Then they said, oh, well, we can't afford this. We're just going to do the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the problem with the, even in Africa, in the world, most musicians cannot dance.
Ooh. Ooh, ooh.
And then the next part, huh? Most musicians cannot explain their craft.
Mm. Yeah.
And some of these musicians who are legends cannot talk about the science behind what their craft is.
Thank you. Because the language is not there.
And the language is not there. So now we don't. And guess what? We're talking about a narrative of people who have been playing this all their lives. And they can't teach and talk about it. So guess what? It is no longer the child's fault. It is the elder master that didn't teach
yeah.
the, if my master did not sit with me and talk to me and be able to have conversations like this, there would be we would not be able to present right here in Kaya, to come on Kaya.
Mm-hmm.
We would not be able to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a living example of that.
Yeah.
Here's my elder right here.
We pass it on. But we've got to document what...
We've
got to put it down so that somebody knows exactly how to do that,
I think.
One of the things that I'm going to wrap up quickly, but we still got some minutes. One of the things that I find that in the dawn of new media, we tend to think that the less we talk about the music, even better.
That's where the biggest mistake is. This is when we should actually be talking about what the importance of the music and what it is for you to have the language of speak of the music, not just the music in as in playing and reading the music, but like you're saying, being able to explain what your craft is about and how to go about doing it. You know?
Just before you wrap up, Sis Linda, you know, I'm gonna take it to another level.
Mm-hmm.
Before 1994.
Mm-hmm.
We had music playing a role, and people were singing. So we were talking about a certain era, addressing a certain era. So now, after 1994, a new cap comes in, and now, all of a Sunday, or rather, all of a sudden, all of a sudden, all of these guys who were so powerful and pushing and with information and everything, and what do you call enlightenment and
intellectuality.
After 94, now we are mourning artistry, the artistry that pushed us into the democracy. Then now, after the democracy, now there are no people now telling this dispensation what to do. But before, we allowed people to say things, but after that, then cut. And that's a problem.
We can't tell each other where we go wrong, right?
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. And
it
I think
very much unfortunate.
We can't scold your kid.
And the old people say you cannot step on your grandma's neck.
On the Jazz Standard today, we're speaking about the universal language of the drum, and we're just making sure that you hear it loud and clear. Before we go, everyone, I'm going to play a track. You cannot step on your grandmother's neck. But we're not going yet. But before that, I'm going to ask each one of us to maybe share from your point of view, what is, you know, the journey of that drum. You know, in general, why we should bring it along, where it came from your point of view, in Southern Africa, for instance, you know, your area of expertise in contemporary spaces, in the digger spaces, you know, where do we make it live? But before I do that, let me play you some folks that started this conversation a long time ago within the space of jazz music, all the way from Chicago.
Thank you.
Another hour of the Jazz Standard.
Only on Kaya 959.
We are Rhythm and Beats.
No. I was telling somebody that, you know, we tend to over cater on the show. We put more music that we're going to need,
yeah.
More conversation than we need more conversation, and we let the conversation really dictate. So I just want to appreciate you and thank you very much, and say to everybody out there, we're busy writing a new curriculum, and it's a curriculum derived from the source, which is the conversation the gentlemen are having about how to write, you know, the jazz, the drum into the music. I don't want to share a lot more, but I can tell you that conversations continue. We want to thank Joy of Jazz for bringing us a lovely festival. You know, when the guests come or the children come home, it's time to talk about what's been happening and what else needs to work. So thank you very much, Mr. Bremer.
Thank you so much. And let's Joy of Jazz Festival next year, the Kunga stage. All three of our bands should be there headlining this festival. No, seriously, because I mean, you have a stage called the Kunga stage, and we must represent something that deals with the drum. Or every night, one artist. Yeah. That represents that. I mean, we talk about ancestral recall. We talk about the memory. We talk about the depth of what this instrument is. And I can tell when people hear this drum at this festival, or one of the people, they go crazy. So you telling me you can't have a band that's led by a drummer, folkloric drummer, that's maintaining a narrative, and we can only be in the back? No. No. Yeah. So Joy of Jazz, let's go.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do you want to just do an outro for a minute, if you can? Otherwise, you don't have to.
I mean, I brought the
you
drum.
You brought the drum, you know.
Why not be in the airwaves? On the air.
On the air, as they say.
Thank you.